Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and today we'll be spending our 90 minutes talking with you about how to use your digital camera. Jack Socha, our guest of Spring Grove, Minnesota, he's taught photography at in La Crosse in the Lifelong Learning Program, and he created a mixed media CD, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. So I hope you'll join in with your questions. But I'm also here today with Jim Packard has joined us, and it's our fall membership drive, as you've been hearing, and we're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You probably know listener donations are the foundation of our budget, and that's why we're asking for your gifts right now. So make your pledge of support at WPR.org, or you can call toll-free at 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. And Jim, we have a goal this hour.
Indeed, Larry, and it's great to be with you. And we've got this goal of $11,000 by 12:30. So we've got 90 minutes to make this happen. Meeting the goal will help make this program possible in the months to come. And so we're inviting you to be the first person to donate to get us started. You can make your pledge online at WPR.org, or you can call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
And we have a special incentive, as a matter of fact. When you donate $120, we'll send you the CD that Jack Socha has put together. It's titled How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And it's a CD that is not only for those of you who just bought a camera, but for people like me, too, who have had a camera a long time and don't know how to use all of the features of it. Jim?
I'll confess to you, Larry, that I don't know how to use the camera either. My wife has one, and I let her do that. And if we go on a trip, I go buy a disposable camera and take the shots that way.
We need this CD.
So this CD is very important to us. You know, it takes a lot of resources to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio is heard all over the state as we are. Some financial support comes from state government, some from the feds, and some from corporate underwriters, but one-third of our Wisconsin Public Radio budget comes from listeners just like you. And that's why we're here today, to ask for your support. We need your help to keep the service strong. You value Wisconsin Public Radio and all that it brings to your life. And now we want you to show how you value it with your pledge of support. Go online, WPR.org, or you can give us a call toll-free at 888-202-2552. You'll be doing your part to support the programming and the service that you count on, including the Larry Mueller Program.
Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of ways to say it, Jim. You can say pass the hat, pay the cover. You can say buy a ticket. But, you know, the request is still the same. Pay for what you use, and do that right now for Wisconsin Public Radio. Go to WPR.org. It's easy to do it that way. Or you can call 888-202-2552, and somebody's there to take your pledge. And the price, well, whatever you decide, if it's a buck a week or dollar a day, your choice. Just go to WPR.org or call us 888-202-2552. Do it right now, and thanks.
You know, we know you're donating because you value the radio programs that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're pleased to be able to give you something of additional value in exchange for that support, and that's the WPR Member Benefit Card. It's real value in the card, with two-for-one entrees at participating restaurants, two-for-one deals at bed and breakfast and cultural attractions. There will be value in the card all year long, and if you pledge at the $120 level, you'll be able to recoup the cost of your membership over the year in just a couple of visits to your favorite restaurant. And we'll also send you the CD on how to use that digital camera that you bought. You can take that along to the restaurant and get some great shots.
All right. Well, I think WPR is one of the great things about Wisconsin. Call in right now. Go online first, maybe, to WPR.org, or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552, and you'll have your pledge in, and you'll be all done. And you can listen to Jack Socha, who is with us by phone today. Jack is, as we've been talking about, a photography expert. Digital photography is a forte for Jack. And certainly if you have some questions for him as we move along today, I hope you'll join in. The number to call for a question for Jack is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. www.wisconsinpublicradio.org. And Jack Socha, are you there?
Yes, sir, I indeed am. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much. You know, I was really happy to be able to offer some of our CDs on how to use a digital camera you just bought to you folks as a little extra thank you, because if you think about it, I contacted you some months ago just saying, hi, I'm this guy who just writes these things, and, you know, can I be on your show? And frankly, right, most places would go, what? but Wisconsin Public Radio turns around and they look at you, they talk to you, they check you out a little bit to make sure you really are who you say or what you do. And then because it was of a value to your listeners, you put me on the air. Yeah. And frankly, I would just challenge your listeners to think of any other media in the country that would do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have a lot of fun talking to all your folks because we get these great questions coming in. I get some good challenging questions that helps me find out what people are dealing with. And so it's a real win-win for everybody. So I want to thank you and Jim for putting up with me. and also, again, just reminding the listeners that they're the ones who are making it happen. So I agree with you 100%.
Well, thank you very much, Jack. And we appreciate having your mixed media CD to offer as a premium today with a $120 contribution. It's great, and we just you know, I'm going to get a copy of that, and I'm going to sit down and
look at it. Yeah,
and look at it, and then I'll know a little more.
Yeah, we just updated it because we discovered through feedback from mostly from students that digital camera users are buying two different kinds of cameras. The simpler ones really don't address a lot of explicit exposure stuff like apertures and shutter speeds and all that. And then the other ones, the single-lens reflex ones and the so-called bridge cameras, are heavily involved in that. So now we've taken the all-important area of exposure and we've divided it into two sections on the CD. So if you want the simple version, it's right there. If you want to go into it deeper, you click on one other button, and then you get all the apertures and all that stuff. So it's something for everybody as far as that's concerned.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, we have callers online, so let's take some calls.
Sure.
Don in Portage is up first. Don, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my question.
Sure.
See, I'm having a problem with my camera, and it's started to appear in the review mode when I would go back to review my pictures. Say I had 150 pictures, and I go back about to the 100 spot, the camera would lock up. You couldn't go back. You couldn't go forward. And when I tried to turn the camera off, it would just sit there, and then about 2 minutes later, it would slowly shut down.
It gives up, huh?
Yeah, and it would do this in review, whether you came back from the top or you came up from the bottom. It'd lock at that same spot.
Well, the first thing I would suggest doing, what it sounds like is basically, you know, a camera is a computer with a lens on the front of it, and that storage card you have is kind of like a little hard drive. The particular camera you have may just be having trouble accessing that many photos. It's possible that there is some slight data corruption on the card, and it's hitting that particular spot and just going, I can't figure this out. So the first thing I would do would be I would take the pictures off the card, put them in a safe place, put them on a computer, or if you don't have access to a computer, take it to one of these one-hour labs and have them make a CD for you.
Yeah. And well, then the thing is, what happened, I tried to do that, and I put the card in my printer to download the pictures onto my computer,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't read it, and I kept trying it, and finally it accepted it, and it came up so I could review those pictures and pick those pictures that I wanted to save and not save.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to do that, and I got about halfway through that, and the whole thing collapsed.
Well, it's beginning to sound more like the problem is not the camera.
Right.
The problem is the card.
Okay, the next question is, and then it said to format the card. Well, of course, I did that. Now, my question is there any way to recover those pictures I formatted, or when it took off when I formatted that card?
Yeah, there are some products out there that you can buy, and also if you do a search on the Internet, putting the word freeware in front of it, do a search for freeware file recovery. Because a lot of times, even though, well, like, formatting is pretty serious, but in many cases, the files are still there, especially if you do a so-called quick format. It just basically just takes the first letter of the file name and erases it so that the computer can't see the files. and these recovery programs will let you put the first letter back in again. That's your best shot. But don't keep using the card. If you formatted it and try to use it again, you may be in trouble. So formatting is pretty final, but...
If I can recover those pictures off of it, I'm just going to dispose of the card.
Right.
I think that may be the case. Now, a lot of these cards have a lifetime warranty, so you may want to check with your manufacturer and see if you format it and it keeps giving you trouble, then there's something wrong with the card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm afraid that it sounds like the card was the culprit.
Good luck, Don. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Mike in Rhinelander next. Mike, hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm enjoying the show, and the timing is very appropriate. My wife and I are headed west, and we're going to do a little hike through the Grand Canyon. And going to spend a little time along the way in some very scenic areas. And we have a large digital camera, Canon, but we are looking for something a little smaller that we could tote along with this. Is we're going to be doing some camping in the canyon, and was looking to your guests for a recommendation on a camera that would be appropriate for what we're looking to do.
Okay,
let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Was your Canon a single lens reflex with a removable lens?
It is a digital camera, and no, it does not have
so it's a fixed lens. What kind of pictures are you taking? Are you going to try to take general scenics, or are you going to try to get close-ups of bald eagles from a mile away, or what are you going to try to do?
None of the close-ups, more the general.
Okay, well, that gives you a pretty wide range. I was just looking. Kodak, for example, just announced that they've got a new camera out called their EasyShare Z1485. It has 14 megapixels, which would make prints up to 30 by 40 inches. And believe it or not, it's $300.
$300?
How much was it?
About $299.95 list price, which means it'll be a little cheaper as things go along. It's one of the first ones in that price range that has that many. That's a lot of megapixels.
Right.
Yep.
And it's a relatively small camera. The problem with some of these itty-bitty ones, and there are ones that look like they're a cassette case with a lens sticking on them, is that they're a little hard to run the controls. And also, if you're going to try to take some shots in lower light, these little ones are a little shaky to hold because there isn't much mass to them.
Sure.
So I would, and also, you know, the most important thing on all these ones is to get your hands on it and see if you can intuitively know where the controls are and what they do. I would really recommend one, if possible, where they have an optical viewfinder as well as a screen, because in the bright sunlight, you can't see the screen.
Great point.
Canon makes some very good ones. Sony has got some good ones. Kodak, they're getting a little more complicated, but they tend to lead the way in terms of ease of use. And also, these newer ones will take the new high-capacity SD cards, which are 4 gigabytes or larger. And 14 megapixels, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's, especially if you plan on cropping the picture down. See, that's the problem is people, they take a picture with an 8-megapixel camera, and then because they couldn't really get quite close enough, like maybe there's a canyon in the way or something, then they cut the part out they want in the center and blow it up. Well, if you cut out half of an 8-megapixel picture, it's like taking it with a 4-megapixel camera.
I see.
So if you have 14 megapixels, you got some elbow room to deal with there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, good luck on the trip.
Well, thank you. And could I ask your guest to repeat that once more? Was it Kodak?
Yeah, this one is called an EasyShare Z1485.
Z1485.
Yeah, now
don't forget,
though, if it takes a special battery, buy an extra battery.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to find too many outlets out there.
No, good point. Thank you again.
All right, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Our guest today, Jack Socha of Spring Grove, Minnesota, has created a mixed media CD, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. Talking with him today about using that digital camera of yours. Join us at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jack Socha, as we talk how to use your digital camera. Again, join us at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And let's go to Zach next in Janesville. Zach, hi.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
How are we doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Jack, I have a question for you. I'm going to be going on a trip to Cancun in about 2 weeks.
Oh, I pity you.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And I want to get a decent camera, but the problem I have, too, is, like, I'd like to take video. So I was looking at some stuff, and there's this JVC. It's called the Enviro, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes stills and does video, too. And I was wondering what the megapixel quality on that is and the optical zoom for the stills.
Generally speaking, the digital video cameras that also take stills, their real strength is the video. And so frequently they'll do good video, and their resolution for the stills may be only 3 megapixels or
okay.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. If you were to go to a website, well, you go to JVC, of course, and look it up.
Uh-huh.
You also might be able to go to, like, Steve's Digicams or one of those places that has a lot of reviews. You can find out exactly what that is. What happens is it's really funny. The still cameras, even little inexpensive ones now, shoot movies.
Yeah. Right.
Now, their real strength is the still part. The movies are kind of mediocre, but they're fun. The digital video cameras, their strength is the videos, and they do a pretty good job with stills, but they don't do as many things. They don't have all of the features that a still camera would have. So you really have to look into it. I'm suspecting that you probably are not going to find much more than 3 or maybe 5 megapixels, although that situation can be getting better.
Yeah, that would. I mean, 5 megapixels is fine for me because I wouldn't plan on really blowing the pictures up that much.
Sure, and really, nowadays, 5 is a lot, even though...
Yeah, I'm just looking more towards the optical resolution on what that camera would have.
Now, also, though, because you're going to be in places like Cancun, you really should be able to access some controls, especially the plus-minus exposure control, to deal with all the backlit sand and all that stuff. So check that out, too, to see how easy that is to manipulate the exposure on that camera. It may be the same button that you use for when you're making your movies. I don't really know.
Yeah. All right.
And you mean as the backlit is like how bright stuff is?
Yeah. One of the most, we talked about this some weeks ago, that there's a button on most still cameras that you can access that lets you increase or decrease the exposure. And this is very useful in sand and snow, because if you're out there in Cancun and someone takes a picture of you, chances are you'll come out a silhouette because it's so bright behind you.
Right.
And you can use the exposure compensation to adjust that. And it would be nice to have that feature available for the still side as well as the video side. So I'd look into that if I were you.
Okay, and then do you have like a website that you can see where you have reviews or some stuff like
one
that?
One of the ones I look at a lot. Is this one that is called Steve's Digicams. If you do a Google search just for Steve's Digicams, you'll find it. It just has all kinds of user reviews and also relatively professional reviews. You got to watch out for some of the opinion sites, because then
right.
The people, you know, they're just either griping mm-hmm. or they're or justifying their purchase. But Steve's is pretty good, and I would check with him.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I ask all these people at Best Buy, and they never know what's going on with any of this stuff. So.
Okay.
Well, it's almost a full-time job. That's why I do like Steve's, because that's all they do.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate the call. Terry in Sun Prairie, it is your turn. Hi,
hello.
Terry.
Hello.
Hi.
I am looking for a camera recommendation. I currently have a Canon Digital Rebel, which I love. But it's a little big, a little bulky to throw in the diaper bag or the purse to go someplace. But I love the instant picture it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking for a smaller pocket digital camera that doesn't have such a long delay before it takes the picture, because my kids have moved by the time the picture is taken. And I'm wondering which cameras tend to be faster.
Oh, well, you have a slight problem, because generally speaking, smaller pocket-sized cameras have more of a delay than the single-lens reflex digital Rebels do.
Yes.
So
I know I won't get exactly there,
yeah,
but I'm looking for which one of the smaller ones is the fastest, at least.
At this stage of the game, like I say, the smaller point-and-shoots are just not designed for that fast an action. If you're not, mm-hmm. well, those kids are pretty quick, viewers. If
yeah.
you're not
yeah.
catching them with your SLR, That's pretty tough because those are the
most. Oh no, I'm catching them with the SLR. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
pardon
I'm catching them with that.
Oh, it's but you want something smaller.
Yeah, I want to have something that I can throw in my diaper bag when we go to the zoo and have something a little bit smaller, more compact, but not. But I'm looking for something in that category that's.
Comparable.
I know it won't be as fast as the SLR, but...
Yeah. Since you like Canon, you might consider one of the Canon power shots and see what how well they will do for you. Many of them do have a so-called burst mode where they will take several shots in a very, very short amount of time, and that might help ensure one of them might catch the kid in the right position.
Okay.
So if you like, Canon's extremely popular.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not endorsing any particular brand, but
in my
class... I would say 70% of the people taking the class have Canons. Now, that just may mean that people who buy Canons have a more serious interest in photography and therefore take the class. I don't really know. But they're doing very well, and I've owned several of them. You would probably want to do a little hands-on just to see how fast it responds. Try to go to a store where they actually have the cameras on display with batteries in them and literally... Maybe bring along a storage card and take a picture and see how fast it operates. Most cameras have a two-step shutter where you press down halfway, it locks in the exposure and the focus, and then when the thing happens, you push it the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to do it all in one stroke, there'll be a delay.
Right. Okay.
So I would if you like Canon stuff, and I think you do, you may find some similarities in the controls and things like that that you'll be comfortable with. So you may want to give that a shot.
Somebody else called in or emailed in and said you should try the Canon SureShot, maybe the S5.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, Jack, what you think of that.
Well, there's a bunch of them out there. They got so many power shots now, it's almost hard to sort them out. But you would want to try to find one that has the least lag time. And again, I would look at some of the reviews and the specifications to see if they address that. They probably will.
Yeah.
Would they address that? I just heard you gave that Steve's Digicam.
Yeah, I tend to plug them. You can look at the current photo magazines, too, of course. Shutterbug.net is online. I would just look around. But Steve has them listed by brand name, and they should give you the specifications about the shutter lag time, which has been a concern. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen that didn't have to happen with film. The sensor has to charge. The focusing has to work. There's quite a bit that goes on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling.
You know, Larry, here's a startling thought. We've only had consumer-type digital cameras for about 10 years, right?
Right.
At most. Do you realize that 10 years into regular film photography, there wasn't film? People were still coating glass plates with egg whites and poison. So we've got a long ways to go. You know, 5-10 years from now, the cameras that are going to be out will be nothing like what we have now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be. And then it's always a question, well, do I wait till the next year?
Yeah. I was just over at a store, and I saw as a closeout, a little 5-megapixel point-and-shoot camera, 5 megapixels now, $37.
Oh.
And, that's because everybody wants 8.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that if you take a 5-megapixel and you really fill the frame up, you'll get a better picture than a person who has an 8-megapixel who only fills half the frame and cuts away the rest.
You know, we're supposed to I have a 5-year-old at home, and we're supposed to get a digital camera for her to take to kindergarten. And $37.
There are a bunch of kids digitals out there now.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of them out there, but a 5-megapixel for $37 sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's cheaper than the kids' ones are. What I always do is I go to the discount stores and I shop the end racks where they hang up the stuff that for some reason hasn't sold.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised what you can find.
Tom and Holcomb, we go to you next. Hi, Tom.
Hi, fellas. I've got a question about the resolution size or the aspect ratio of a picture. And being able to take that picture then and print it faithfully on a 8.5 by 11. I don't think a 640/320 is big enough, or is it?
No,
because I don't want to blow it up, obviously, and get it pixelated.
Yeah, 640/480 is the original size that digital cameras were 10 years ago when they were designed to be just shown on a screen. Roughly half a megapixel.
Oh, okay.
And so you need to seriously escalate your pixels Again, you can buy, you know, 5-megapixel ones on sale for $37. I purchased a 7-megapixel camera for $75. Mm-hmm. So they're out there. There's if you go to my website,
I do have a 6-megapixel, and I can run it up to 1024 756.
Yeah, you can
which
they call it interpolation.
Yeah.
But if you go to my website, acpress.com,
okay,
you'll see an article there on I think it's 5 free image editing programs. And
okay,
one that was called FastStone Image Viewer allows you to crop the picture with the aspect ratio of the print you're planning on making.
Oh.
Because okay, the trick is that a 5x7 is not the same shape as an 8x10 or a 4x6.
Sure.
And so what this lets you do is it lets you crop the picture for an 8x10 and then
okay,
save that one, and then maybe you'd name it, you know, if it's a picture of a house, house 810, then
okay,
go back and do it again for a 5x7. And this way, when you take your pictures in to have them printed or print them at home,
oh,
you get exactly on the print what you expect
oh,
to see. It's a free program. It's called FastStone Image Viewer. There's a story about it at my website. Just go to the website, and there's a red button that says Other Articles. Click there, and you'll see a bunch of articles.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tom. Lynn in Wausau, on to you now. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I need help.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking for a recommendation on a camera also. I have a Canon EOS Rebel SLR film that I've been shooting for a number of years, and I have a HP Digital 5-megapixel, and I'm looking to upgrade to a Canon, maybe an SXI or a D40 or something that I can take my Sigma 70 to 300 with the macro on it and use it on the digital
sure,
off the film.
Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind the good news is that there's no bad news here. The good news is that your Canon EOS film lenses will fit on the EOS digitals. I mean, they will work.
Right. I've been told that Nikon changed their sizes, but Canon kept theirs.
They've kept the same. And I've got some EOS film cameras, and I just put the lenses on. Some of the lenses that come with a digital camera will not work on your film camera because the film, the circle that it projects is smaller, and so
right,
they make it so it can't fit. Now, but when you put your film camera lenses on a digital camera, because the sensor is smaller, the effective picture is like it's 1.5 times more powerful. So your 300-millimeter zoom will actually be more like a 450.
Okay, that's what somebody told me. My
right,
300 is going to equal a
right,
400
now,
or
the,
something.
The bad
and
news
I went,
is,
oh,
is that,
that might be even a...
Oh, the sports photographers love that.
Better thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what happens is that the wide angle that you used to enjoy will not be as wide.
Oh, okay.
So what kind of stuff are you planning on shooting?
I shoot a little of everything. I do some macro. The Sigma lens I have has a macro mm-hmm, on it I can flip to. I do landscape. I work out of an art gallery with people, and I do a lot of photography, make photo cards to sell, enlargements,
yeah,
things like that.
Sure.
Well, I think really, you know, the only reason that you'd want to have the more expensive Canon SLRs is for the rapid fire nature of them. So if you're not needing to shoot super high speed, you know, that one after another, like a paparazzi, you could easily get by with one of the less expensive ones.
So good luck to you, and thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Our guest today, Jack Socha of Spring Grove, Minnesota, who teaches photography and has a great CD on how to use the digital camera you just bought. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jack Socha, and joined in the studio now with Jim Packard, and we're here to ask for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Of course, your contribution makes our work here at Wisconsin Public Radio possible, and it's easy to make your donation. Just go online at WPR.org or call us toll-free, and that number is 888-202-2552. And Jim, we have a goal.
We do indeed. And that goal is $11,000 by 12:30. So just a little less than an hour to raise an additional $7,070. And your pledge will help us reach that goal, stay on track financially. Make your pledge right now securely online at WPR.org or toll free at 888-202-2552.
And Jim, as a special incentive, when we have listeners donate, when you donate, $120 or more, you can receive a copy of Jack's Mixed Media CD, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. That's a gift from Jack and from us here at Wisconsin Public Radio to say thank you so much for supporting the station. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity to support Wisconsin Public Radio and get that CD at the same time.
And just as a little extra bonus, Larry, we'll also send along the member benefit card from Wisconsin Public Radio. So 2-for-1 entrees at restaurants, deals at bed and breakfasts, and at cultural institutions across the state. That's at the $120 level at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. You know, you think about the regular guests, the voices that you hear.
Jack's one of them now.
Jack is one of them now. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk is going to be along next Tuesday. Scott Craven was here yesterday. Steve Ackerman and John Martin cover the weather for us. We have Peter Green with personal computer advice. Bill Volker to the DNR at Horicon. Noel Cutright talking about ornithology. Just two of the familiar voices that become like old friends after a while.
Absolutely. And you can support those folks and support Wisconsin Public Radio by going online to WPR.org or calling that number. Again, it's 888-202-2552. Call right now with your pledge. Pledge what you can pay, you know, what you can. We hope you'll pledge what you can afford to pay for the station. Many listeners join us at that $60 level, $5 a month. You know, that $120 level would be great for the for getting the CD as well. You can put it on your credit card if you like. Couldn't be easier. Just go on the web at WPR.org or just call us at 888-202-2552. Call today and thanks.
The people who've called in the last hour or so, Barbara says that it's like having a friend with me while I drive. And Rasma and Agris and Little Chute say, you are my constant companion. Listeners tell us that Wisconsin Public Radio is a great source of information about the nation, the world, and Wisconsin. And with the economic times and the political situation in the world today, you need Wisconsin Public Radio more than you've ever needed it. Wisconsin listeners tell us that the program for lifelong learning that brings to their lives will enable them to learn things on Wisconsin Public Radio that are new and valuable. So it helps you keep up with developments in science and research and technology in the world.
So call that number now. It's 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org. And Jim, come on back and check in with us a little later on, will you? And we'll turn back to our guest, Jack Socha. And Jack, as always, when you're on the program, lots of people want to visit with you.
Can I throw one more little thing in?
Sure.
You mentioned the CD that we're going to give you as a gift. People may be wondering what it's all about.
Yeah.
It is the nearest thing we could do to having me come over to your house, sit down at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee, and explain your camera. It's predominantly me talking with many, many screens of information. It's all tabbed so you can jump to the category that you need to figure out. It doesn't require any fancy installation. It's for PCs. And it's like I say, if I could come over and visit with each and every one of us there, I would love to do it. It's the nearest thing I could do it, and people seem to like it. So that's how it works.
And for that $120 contribution, we will send out to our listeners a copy of that CD. Well, Roland in Eau Claire has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Roland. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, I just turned in on it here just a few minutes ago there, and I was going to mention that one of the things that comes to my mind is to take a digital camera, and I've been taking pictures with my camcorder, still pictures, and creating a slideshow from it, and then teach the grandkids. Teach the grandkids how to do it, you know, and be a good activity for the grandkids. Teach them a little bit about photography, go out and see nature, get some pictures. So it really is a good tool. I just thought I'd mention that as something that be a good, friendly grandparent type of activity. Now, what I was wondering is, what is the kind of a price range, a reasonable price range for a camera for a young person, let's say grade, somewhere in the early grades, that would still take some good pictures, but, you know, be reasonable and suitable more for them.
The one thing is most of the kids now are more comfortable with technology than their parents or grandparents.
Yeah.
I mean, they walk out iPods and they've got all these things going on. If you don't need to buy the absolute brand new latest, which is always the most expensive, there are cameras, there's dozens of cameras in the $100 to $125 range, and then as they get to be a little older stock, they drop down. I always use the a little 7-megapixel camera I picked up almost on a lark for $75. And as I mentioned earlier, I've seen them dropping down to 5 megapixels because people think they're just not enough resolution anymore. They're $37, which is amazing. The main thing you need to do is you need to make sure that the person using it understands that that this thing is not a Nerf toy. They can't throw it against the wall. These are relatively delicate instruments, and so they have to kind of watch them carefully. A friend of mine loaned his camera to his daughter, and she brought it back saying, "Daddy, it doesn't work anymore." And I took a careful look at it, and there was a dent in the right-hand corner of the back of the camera. We took the storage card out and put it on the computer. The last shot was her on a swing. That was called busted. We knew what happened.
Oh, my goodness. So $37, you can get a 5-megapixel, and that's going to be, for a youngster, that might be plenty.
Plenty for a lot of people, yeah. Generally speaking, the ones that are specifically made for kids, not so much the Fisher-Price ones, but the blister pack ones with Hannah Montana on them or whatever, are usually not that great a deal. But if you buy just a last year's model, you do great.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, Roland. Appreciate it. Stephen in Milwaukee, we're on to you now. Hi, Stephen.
Hello. My question is, I've been doing some research on digital cameras, and I'm an old film camera buff. And I've always been in love with Leica cameras, but I've never been able to afford them. Now that I'm going looking at digital, I've noticed that there seems to be a very close relationship between the Panasonic Luminex cameras and the Leica C-Lux, I think it's called, digitals. Are they basically the same camera, or what's the deal there?
There's a lot of duplication. Leica, for those people who don't know about it, made some very high-end German cameras, but they also filled in their line with less expensive ones. I remember years ago I had a choice between a Leica autofocus camera or a Minolta, and it was basically the same camera with a different nameplate on it. And so, yes, you are going to see a close association between, say, Panasonic and Leica. I just was working with a student who had a Panasonic Lumix. Nice camera, had a Leica lens on the front of it. And so it really is a toss-up. If they look the same, there may just be some cosmetic differences. Again, you may want to go to a website such as the Steve's Digicams, look at the reviews of both, and if it says the sensor is the same, the ISO is the same, if all the specs come out almost identical, pretty much it's the same camera.
All right,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Connie in Arcadia, on to you now. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I have a question. I have a, it's a Canon PowerShot. It's a couple years old, 5 megapixel.
Do you know what model it is? 510 or something like that, or 520, A520?
S21S or 15, or it's hard to read.
Okay.
It's a really nice camera, but it does something. There's a gap between when I press the button and when the shutter goes.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of goofy pictures. And I wonder, are there settings that could make that gap less?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, and this has been a problem. See, the difference is that with film cameras, it was a chemical reaction. So all you had to do was open the shutter, and then the chemicals did the rest. When light hit the chemicals, they
that
made a picture. With a digital camera, you're energizing a sensor, you're energizing an autofocus mechanism, you're doing all these things which take time. What you need to play with is the shutter is a two-part shutter. If, let's say, you've got a child about to blow out a birthday candle, you focus on the child, you press the shutter down halfway, and you can feel it. It'll beep at you, or a little light will come on to say, "I'm ready to take the picture." And then as they go to blow out the candle, press the rest of the way, and that takes the picture.
Okay.
So it'll be a lot faster.
Yeah, be a lot faster. On Sat, again, 5 years from now, we won't be having this discussion, but right now, there is that delay.
And this is, the camera's a couple years old, so.
Yeah, and they're getting better.
State of the art, Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thanks.
Sure. Yep,
thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Sharon in Shattuck. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So far, I'm stymied. I can't get the wrist strap itched up. But anyway, I bought this camera 2 days ago. It's what is it? It's a SX100 Canon.
Okay.
And I could have gotten one less expensive, but I happen to have an expert in the family who just got back from Germany and thinks this camera can do everything but the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures are outstanding.
Okay.
So what's the problem?
I'm scared to start.
You need Jack's CD, that's for sure.
Well, they give you a little CD, but I don't. I also bought a new computer, so I've got to learn how to put the CD in the computer.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, that is one thing, is that we keep saying these are not really cameras. They're computers with lenses on them. The first thing is you know, I realize the manuals are not the best written in the world. Take a look through the manual. Try to identify what the different buttons are on the camera and what it will do. In most cases, if you leave it on that setting that says auto, it has a little green auto on it or something like that, it pretty much is decision-free. It's just going to do the things for you. It's only when you move it off auto, and frequently the cameras have a selection next to that called P for program, it still exposes the camera exactly the same way, but it offers you more options, things that you can control. So you have to kind of work your way into it. First, get a feel for the camera itself, leave it on auto, and then when you want to get a little bit more adventuresome, put it on the P setting, and then you'll notice that when you push some of the same buttons on the back, more options will show up. So just kind of step into it a little bit at a time. The other thing is you don't have to use every feature of the camera. There's a lot of stuff on there. There's a thing called automatic white balance that balances the light color. Most cases, you'll never have to take it off that. So just you have to sit down and look at things that maybe you'll use and work for you, and other things that you're never going to deal with. Don't worry about them.
Don't worry about them. And thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Be brave. Open that box and get at it. Oh, man. Jim Packer joins us in the studio again. We're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Of course, your contribution makes our work here at Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And it's really easy to make your donation. Just go online at WPR.org, or you can call us toll free at 888-202-2552. And Jim Packer joins me. And Jim, we have a goal and we've made some progress.
We have indeed, Larry. The goal is $11,000 by 12:30. We have $5,170 phoned in so far, $5,830 to go to make our goal for the program. Your pledge will help us reach the goal and stay on track for the drive. Make your pledge right now. You can do it securely online at WPR.org or toll-free at 888-202-2552.
And as a special incentive, when you donate $120 or more, you can receive a copy of that mixed media CD that Jack Socha has produced and made. It's titled How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, and it's a wonderful CD that's going to help you immensely with your program. Jack does such a wonderful job here on the program. He talks plainly. Any of us, you know, I can understand everything he says, which tells me he's doing a good job at this. And this is the caliber of guest you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. And what is it, having access to guests like this and the information they provide? What's that worth to you? Think about that for a minute and then make your pledge online at WPR.org, or again, call us toll free at 888 202-2552.
And in addition to sending along the CD that Jack has put together, the Mixed Media CD for the $120 pledge, we will also send you the member benefit card, which enables you to get 2-for-1 entrees at participating restaurants in Wisconsin and surrounding states, some deals on bed and breakfast, 2-for-1 there, and cultural attractions as well. Giving just takes a couple of minutes of your time. We need your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. Credit cards save us time and money, so we take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. So take a couple of minutes right now. Give securely online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and pledge for the Larry Miller program.
Yeah, and you know, I know after paying all your bills, I understand. Jim and I understand because we have to do it too. It's not easy to find extra cash, and for a lot of people that's the case. But if you can find that cash, that's why it's up to you to help contribute. And think about how much you can contribute after you've made taken care of those bills. Any amount makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio when you take your pledge and make your pledge at WPR.org or calling us at 888-202-2552. It's a member organization. How much you give isn't as important as the fact that you participate by actually giving. And unlike paying your bills, you don't have to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. But because it's a choice and because it's something you value and love, you're probably going to find that making that a donation is enjoyable. It certainly is to me, and I know it is to Jim as well. So find out how enjoyable it is. Go online right now at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
That's right, Larry. Pledging at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 takes just a moment out of your day, and in return, you'll get back many hours of great programming. Your $1,000 contribution would make a significant difference in our budget and helps us bring you all the talk, news, music, entertainment that you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio. Your donation of any amount to WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 will help ensure that our community of listeners will get the public radio that it deserves.
You know, we have a reputation, I think, for quality and substance in our program, and when you pledge your support, you can be sure that you're contributing to a nonprofit organization that we're stable, we're sound. I think we're worthy of your donation. And listener contributions have helped keep us strong in the past. And, of course, your pledge today is going to help ensure our future. Your support gives us the means to keep quality and substance in our programming every single day. And Jim mentioned the $1,000 contribution. That'd be great, but maybe you can't afford that. Pledge your support, whatever it is, right now, securely at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. And Jim, we've got something else to listen to here.
Wisconsin Public Radio is on in our home all the time. It's on in our cars. It's the first thing I listen to in the morning. It's usually the last thing I hear before I go to bed. For me, not listening to it would be like not eating. It's a part of my world, and it's something that I can't live without. I'm Christy from Wausau, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for music, news, and everything in between.
It's a nice statement, isn't it, Jim?
It is indeed, Larry. It's nice to have listeners like Christy. You meet listeners all over the state. It's quite remarkable. We go out and travel around, and we find just wonderful people who are highly interested in what's going on in the world, and they're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. And we would like to send you a copy of this CD that Jack has put together called How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, or How to Use That Digital Camera You Got Stuck Away in the Drawer. And it takes a $120 pledge, and we'll also send you the member benefit card. And you do that with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I know that we've got some people who left some comments about their listening habits.
Yeah, somebody, Dan and Dorothy from Presque Isle, says we love the station. And, oh, they especially like
Larry, yeah.
And Dennis is in Milwaukee, recently retired, has been listening to WPR for more than 10 years, enjoys a lot of our programs, and so he contributed. And we're at $5,630 raised with $5,470 to go. So the time is now, if you haven't contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's, I think, an important source of information and advice. The network is, I think, unique in the country. Maybe you've benefited from the advice you've heard. I know that there's several people today, Jim, who have been listening, who have benefited from the tips that Jack Socha has had. Not only the callers who called in and talked specifically to him, but a lot of other people who were just listening and had the same question.
Exactly. We appreciate what Jack does. We appreciate your listening. And we'd like to marry the two right now with a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You do that at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552. Give what you can afford, but we're recommending that $120 pledge. $10 a month will get you the CD, how to use that digital camera that you just bought. And we'll also send you the member benefit card, which will enable you to go out, have a few meals, and recoup the amount of your investment at Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org.
Do it right now. Either call in at 888-202-2552 or join us online at WPR.org and make your contribution that way. I hope you consider Wisconsin Public Radio programs worthy of your support. Maybe you've been waiting for us to offer a thank you gift that you can really use. Well, now you have it. You've got Jack Socha's CD. You've got the WPR member benefit card for that $120 pledge. It's a valuable benefit that you will certainly find useful. The member card is tangible. It's a year-long reminder of how grateful we are for your generous support, just as the CD would be as well every time you turn that on. So pledge right now, $120 or more, and receive the CD from Jack Socha and the member benefit card. We'll be going away for a couple of minutes here to cover the news, but then we'll be back with Jack Socha to answer your digital photography questions. So stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Nice to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jack Socha of Spring Grove, Minnesota, digital camera expert, and has created a mixed media CD, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, written lots of articles for places like Shutterbug and eDigital Photo and Imaging. So really happy to have him with us. If you have some questions, give us a ring at 1-800-642-1234. And Jack, David in Prairie du Chien has been waiting quite a while. So let's just go right to David. David, hi. Thanks for waiting.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show. I have an optical film background. However, I do have an Olympus SLR size Comedia camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd want to set it up to use for a studio lighting situation. Now, I understand that because this doesn't have a, let me tell you, my basic question when I get to the bottom, to the end of all this, is going to be, I think I've got it set up to use in studio, but the automatic focus just seems to take too long. I'm being used to the, you know, the optical cameras where, bam, you set the focus and it's there.
Which model Olympus do you have?
This is the Comedia. It's the C8080 wide zoom.
Okay.
And because it doesn't have a PC input, I'm using the Ween Hachu-to-Hachu Safe Sync to connect to the Speedotron power pack to the studio lights.
Okay, so you've got kind of a you've got it linked up, so you're not using continuous illumination; they're flash.
Correct.
Okay, and basically, you don't think it's quite focusing fast enough for you.
No, if I set the camera to manual, I can get the same ASA, the same shutter speed, the same f-stop
mm-hmm.
that I'm used to using with the Portra 160 or the Fujicolor NPS 160. However, once I depress the shutter, it just seems to think about it too long.
Today seems to be my camera is too slow day.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it?
There's a couple of things. What kind of things are you photographing in the studio?
Pardon?
What kind of subjects are you photographing?
These are people portraits.
Okay. Generally speaking, the apparent depth of field, the amount of focus that a digital camera has, appears to be wider than
than a 35 millimeter. It's got to do with the optics all being smaller. So what you might consider doing is just turning off the autofocus or just focusing it manually, focusing it on the eyes of the subject and just letting her go.
Okay.
Because unless they're moving around a lot, you shouldn't have too much difficulty with that. I'm not quite sure why it wouldn't be focusing. When the flash is not on, is the light in the studio relatively low at this point? I mean, when you're modeling lights,
they're not
real bright, right? Because you don't want to blind
your
subject.
Yeah.
I don't know if your camera has a focus assist light. It may have one. You might want to look at the setup menu and see whether there is a focus assist. I'm looking at a picture of one right now, and I don't see it on the front there. But you may want to consider just manually focusing it, because since your stuff isn't moving around too much, I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, David. Thank you.
Sure.
Bill in Racine, hi to you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Sony high-definition SR5 video camera, digital, and it saves everything right onto a hard drive, right on the camera.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, I bought it to take my wedding pictures last November, and I'm afraid to erase it at all because I will lose the high-definition feature, from what I understand, recording it through either my camera or my computer or any other media right now. I'm not sure. So my question is there something out there that I can use to get the high-definition recording that I've got on my camera right now to some other media? And I'm thinking about buying a new PC in the near future, so what should I be looking for?
Oh, okay. So basically, this is a video camera, and it records onto a disk?
It records right onto the hard drive of the camera. Now, I can download it, and I have downloaded it to a 500-gigabyte external hard drive on my computer.
Right.
But I understand from the Sony that when you download any of the HD features that you'll lose the HD part of it. You'll still get a nice picture, but it won't be high definition. So if I took that disc or my PC and tried to put it onto my Sony high-definition television, I would have just a regular kind of picture.
Hmm. I must admit to you, number one, that the video is not my strong point. I'm a still photographer. But I would think if it's a digital file and you're simply, if you can just copy the file without going through any Sony hardware, just our software. In other words, if you can plug your camera in and it shows up as drive E or whatever the next logical letter is, you should be able to just literally copy the entire file onto your hard drive. And then there are some newer versions of software like Roxio, Easy CD, DVD Creator that does support high definition, even Blu-ray DVDs. I would think it would be able to take that file and use it.
Okay. Yeah.
I would talk to Roxio first. You might want to drop a note to Sony Tech Support, because I don't see any reason why simply copying the file to a hard drive would cause you to lose the high-definition features.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
And I'm not sure then that's why it's still on my hard drive on the camera.
So. Well, I think maybe the software may be filtering it out, but I would think if you can just plug your camera directly into the computer and literally access the drive on the camera and just copy and paste the file onto your hard drive, there's no way you can lose anything because it's an intact file.
It's an intact file. Good luck. Thanks for calling, Bill. Appreciate it. Steve in Stillwater, it's your turn now. Hi, Steve.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I've got sort of a general question. I've got a Pentax SLR of the IST series, the IST, and I've got a Canon A720, which is a great little camera I use for hiking. Both of them have adjustable white balance.
Yeah, automatic white balance, AWB, or for us oldsters, the average white band.
All right, which wasn't on my old film SLR.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried taking pictures, and I can set it for cloudy days and shady, you know, and I understand that, but I really have problems in more extreme conditions, especially in the winter. And I've tried using both of them have custom settings. I've tried doing that with usually disastrous results. I was just wondering if you had any, you could kind of describe the white balance.
Well,
you know,
basically,
color temperature thing.
This is borrowed from video cameras and is pretty well-proven technology for about the past 30 years. What different kinds of light have different color.
Yep.
Daylight is considered to be the normal light. Everybody who's ever taken a picture indoors with light bulbs and no flash has gotten that orangey color, and overhead neon lights tend to fluorescence tend to be kind of greenish looking. Plus, on a winter day, because the sun is in a different part of the world or something, there's a lot of blue light.
Yep.
In the picture. This is with film. What we used to do was we put on what they call a skylight filter, which had a little pink tinge to it.
Yep.
To warm up a cold-looking photo.
I've got those, yeah.
Well, what automatic white balance does, it tries to do the same thing electronically.
Yeah, now, and it usually works pretty well, but it's when, especially in the winter, a gray day, everything turns out really blue-gray. Or,
right, and there should be a cloudy setting that
turns
tries to
tinge red. You know?
Right. If you set the camera, if you take it off automatic white balance, and you can only do that by going off the full auto mode and going onto the program mode, you should be able to select one of the other selections, which may adjust it somewhat. But in the final analysis, if you have access to a computer, for example, if you go to my website, acpress.com, go to the article on the free software, there's a program called Photo Filter, which I use all the time, and there are you can adjust the color as much as you want. You can adjust the saturation of the color. You can do things like you can revive the color. So a lot of it can be done in post-processing.
All right. Good luck. Thanks. So that's your website again is?
It's acpress, acpress.com. And right in the middle, there's three red buttons on the front page. Just click on the one that says Other Articles, and you'll see an article about these free software programs that can do all these things. Now, you can go out and buy software, too.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have you save the money and give it to public radio.
Good plan. Thanks, Steve. Marcy in Janesville. Hello.
Hi. I have a Canon PowerShot A540.
Okay.
And it takes pictures most of the time, but if I try and zoom and then it uses the flash, it just shuts right off. And the batteries are fine. If I turn it on and don't use the zoom and the flash goes off, it stays on and takes the picture.
It's a Canon A540, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you're trying to zoom out and take a and use the flash, and the flash turns off and the camera shuts down, you say?
Well, it will act like it's taking the picture, like it'll focus the little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings the picture into focus. But then when I depress the shutter the rest of the way, then the camera, the screen goes blank. The camera doesn't record the picture, but the telephoto part stays out, but the camera has shut off.
That's not a good sign.
No.
That's
what I was thinking.
That's not. Now, there's a possibility. How long have you had the camera?
About 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. Does it use a rechargeable lithium battery, kind of a funny-shaped battery you have to charge up, or does it have AA batteries in it?
It uses AA.
Okay. And the batteries are fresh? They're not worn down?
We can change them out, and they'll be fine, and the battery light doesn't come on to say they're low, and if I have just put fresh batteries in, it'll do the same thing.
Okay.
But if I don't use the zoom, then it'll flash and take the picture, and it keeps it.
Now, the only thing I can think of, the first possibility is there could be something wrong with the camera.
Right.
The other possibility is that, you know, on these smaller cameras, when you zoom the lens out, the effective lens opening gets really little.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be trying to tell you that there's just not enough flash power to cover that distance.
Yeah,
but
that's what I was thinking.
The way it is.
No, it shouldn't shut off.
One thing you may want to do is you may want to go to the Canon website.
Okay.
And look for your particular model of camera. Look for what they call firmware upgrades. It's amazing the number of times that over a year or so, the company find some little glitch, a bug in the camera, mm-hmm. which they fix. And what you do is you download this firmware upgrade onto a storage card, stick it in your camera, and then they give you a secret number of buttons to push, and it loads the upgrade and actually upgrades the software in the camera.
Oh, okay.
That's worth a try.
Failing that, go to the end cap aisle of your local discount store where you may find a $37 camera.
Oh, man. Thanks, Marcy. Tom in Milwaukee, hi.
Oh, good afternoon. I enjoyed your last comment there. I have a camera-related question with digital cameras. It just seems you could take picture after picture, and pretty soon you've got 1,000 of these puppies in your computer, and then when you want to retrieve one, you don't know how to do it. I'm looking for a good, doesn't have to be great, but a good video of photo editing program, but where I can use some keywords. I know a lot of these programs will use folders where you put your photographs. I'm looking for something that uses a combination of keywords. So mm-hmm. if I put in vacation, 1988, Brother yeah. Dick.
Sure, sure. The first one that comes to mind is a commercial program, and it was ACDC. It's ACDSEE. And it is designed for photographers who are doing exactly what you're asking. But I'm a big fan of what they call freeware, which is software that is absolutely free, and in some cases shareware, where if you like the program, you pay the author. I would do a search on the Internet. I would type in the word freeware, and then I would type in photo organizer and see what pops up.
See what pops up.
Yeah, it is, what you're asking is not uncommon, where you basically type in, it'll bring up thumbnails of your photos and allow you to type in keywords to describe them. So when you want to find the picture, you type in Cancun, and up comes all the Cancun pictures.
Yeah.
But again, ACDC is a popular one that's professional that you can buy. It's commercial software. But in addition to that, do a search for freeware photo organizer, and you might be surprised.
Yeah, and thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, and certainly appreciating all the things that Jack has given us today. I'm joined in the studio by Jim Packard. We're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution makes our work possible here. Easy to make your donation. Just go online at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. And Jim Packard, how are we doing with our goals here?
You know, we had this goal of $11,000 as we started the show today, and so far $8,345 has been raised in phone calls from our listeners. That means that we've got about $2,650 to go to make our goal. We have to do that in the next 10 minutes, so we need about 22 calls at $120 in order to reach that goal and stay on track financially. You can make your pledge right now and help us meet that goal. You can do it securely online at WPR.org, or you can call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
And, of course, as a special incentive, when you donate $120 or more, you can receive a copy of Jack Socha's CD, Mixed Media CD. It's titled How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And a lot of the questions that came up today, I know, are covered in that CD. And, of course, many, 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 many more questions are answered in the CD. You know, you can listen to WPR every day for years. You'll never get a bill. And even though you receive the service every day, just like a utility or maybe a phone service, unlike the utilities or the phones, you won't receive monthly bills from us based on how much you use Wisconsin Public Radio. Instead, we use the honor system, and we count on you to voluntarily make a pledge to pay for the listening you do. And you can do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, our webpage, WPR.org, is secure. You will not have to worry about your financial information being exposed to anyone. When you donate, you just tell us how much you love the program in the comments section. And people like Jeffrey in Fort Atkins has said he started listening about 6 months ago and has not stopped ever since. He listens from 6 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He finds the listening is valuable and makes his day enjoyable. And I think that you're probably in that situation if you're a regular listener to Larry's show. You can go to WPR.org. You can print out a receipt for your records. You can get on with your day. Just go to WPR.org and make your pledge right now and help us meet our goal.
How often do you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio? As Jim said, Jeff just started listening 6 months ago, and now he listens pretty much all day long or for a good share of the day. Maybe you listen every day on your way to work, or maybe you listen on the weekends. Think about the amount of time you spend and then make your contribution accordingly. And Jim, I know a lot of people appreciate the program that we do here. This is a way for you to support the program. You can make a contribution to keep the quality of this program and all of the programs that we have at Wisconsin Public Radio and our service very strong.
Larry, just think, what would life be like if there were a hole in the middle of the day and that Larry's show was not heard? There would be a void of information that would be passed around the state. I mean, we just really have to notice that. It's the one thing that links the entire state together is Larry's show, and this is where people communicate. There's a community of listeners and share information and ideas. People call in and amplify answers, provide a little something. It's a great, great program. It only works because you've made a contribution to keep the quality of the service strong, and you can do that right now online at WPR.org, or you can call us at 888-202-2552.
And we have a ways to go, about $2,600 to go, and here's something else to listen to as well.
Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it gives us an option. I listen in the car, I mainly listen to the music, and when I'm at home, it may be the music or it may be some of the other informative shows. I will usually have a radio on in every room so that wherever I go throughout the house, I can hear the program that I'm listening to. I'm always saying something to someone about, oh, I heard this on public radio, I heard that on public radio. I'm Peggy Loken from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information.
And Jim, that's another nice comment from a listener, isn't it?
Indeed. Wisconsin Public Radio is a companion during your day. Many people listen, you know, as many hours as they're up. They're from morning as they get out of bed, and it's on until they finally go to bed at night. We're on the air 24 hours a day, so we're there for you whenever you need us, whether you're at home or at the office, whether you're alone or with others, whether you're in your vehicle or not, concentrating or relaxing. We're there for you, and now we hope that you're there for us, because like a good companion, you can count on us for some interesting news, some great music, some intelligent talk and conversation. We're counting on you to make a donation and become a member and help us meet this $11,000 goal that we have for the program today. Do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, I think we had about another 21 or 22 callers call in with that $120 contribution.
That's exactly right. 22 calls would do it.
We're at about $2,500 to go to reach our goal. And remember, if you contribute, when you contribute $120, we'll send you a copy of Jack Socha's CD, mixed media CD, How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. And you've been listening to Jack, and you know how smart he is about digital cameras and photography. And he's packed a lot of his brain power right into that CD, and it's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful premium, a way of our saying thank you to promoting Wisconsin Public Radio during this program. This is the only time we're going to be offering this special deal with the CD. So I hope you'll call in right now. Our goal at $2,300 now, we're down a little bit. It's $8,755 we've raised, so we've got the rest of the way to go here, and only a couple of more minutes to do it. We've had 68 calls, and one thing that I've appreciated is that 30 of those callers have never contributed before, Jim. They're brand new at it, and that's wonderful.
It is wonderful, and it's something that we look for because, you know, the new listener is the lifeblood of the existence of this organization. We can't rely on just the current listeners that we have. We've got to have new ones, and it's so gratifying to find out that new people are listening, and they're also responding by pledging, and you can make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Not only will we send you Jack's CD at the $120 level or greater, we'll also send you the member benefit card. You can go out to eat on a 2-for-1 entrees and recoup the cost of your investment over the next year. So it's a great deal, and you do that right now at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, Jim, when you think about it, I think a lot of people will find that they spend a whole lot more each day for things that they value less than Wisconsin Public Radio. I certainly know that I do. So a $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, just a little over 30 cents a day. And I know that Jack Socha has saved some anguish and has saved some money for people. That's probably going to amount to that much or a whole lot more. So spend a little right now and you'll get a lot in return. That's the way I like to look at it. We'll be going away pretty quickly here. And a big thanks to Jack Socha for all that he's done for us, not only today, but for over the course of the last year or so. He's been a wonderful guest. Really appreciate the work he's done. Support him right now. support this program right now. You're going to get a lot in return for it. Make your donation at WPR.org and do your part. Or you can call us at 888-202-2552. Either way, you'll be investing in a service that you can use. We have to go away now, but I tell you what, it's been wonderful. I want to say a big thanks to everybody who's contributed. We still have about $1,600 to go. We can make it with your help. So call in 888-202-2552. And thanks very much for listening. Call now.